Welcome to Heritage Fellowship's Sermon of the Week. We hope you're encouraged and challenged as we study the Word of God together.
Well, good morning. Yeah. We are so excited for this morning. But if you would, go ahead. Thank you. Go ahead and open up your Bibles. We are in the fourth week of this Remain series. Fifth week of quarantine. It's the fifth week of quarantine. We're starting the sixth. So is this Sunday start? This Sunday starting the sixth. How you doing? How's everybody feeling? I feeling healthy, feeling strong. But I gotta admit, I am just burning through the COVID snacks. I don't know about any of you, but we have the same conversation every time we get groceries. Like, hey, listen, this has to last us. And I say, for the next hour, and we just eat through all the snacks so quickly. But hey, we are praying for you guys. I know that this is a different season. This can also be a really good season. We've had some really, really great encouragement for this season. And I think this series is an amazing, amazing part of that. So just super thankful for where the Lord has us, what the Holy Spirit's doing. But if you will, go ahead and open up your Bibles. We're going to be in John chapter 15, John chapter 15. And again, we're still in our series called Remain, Cultivating a Connection with Jesus. Cultivating a Connection with Jesus. And before we jump in, I want to highlight some of the things that were said before this, because I love how this chapter really builds off of each verse before it. So we're going to go back a little bit and just talk about a few things, hit on a few things that Casey said, that Ben said, that were amazing. But our first week, Casey came to us and he talked about the continued dependence on the vine, and that's where the branch needs to find itself. He said the fruit is the natural outflow of a life with Jesus. Casey came and he defined the Greek word for abide, that we continue to be present. He said that the bearing of fruit is not the work. Remaining is the work. Bearing the fruit is not the work. Our goal is not to develop all of this fruit. I almost said it's not to be fruity, but to develop this fruit, our work is to remain with Jesus. And Casey challenged us remaining in Jesus by remaining in the spiritual disciplines. Then Ben came and talked about pruning. He talked about the evidence of dead branches. And one of the things that he said that really stuck to me is that the dead branches are a detriment to other branches. That dead branches are a detriment to other branches. They're a detriment to the vine. They're detrimental to the health of other branches around us. And he talked about the evidence of a healthy branch. A healthy branch knows its source and knows that the connection is the best part. The connection is the best part. The fruit is not the best part, that the connection is the best part. Ben told us that healthy branches expect and rejoice in regular pruning. They expect and rejoice in regular pruning. And I don't know if you caught it before Ben got started. He said, rejoicing is choosing. Hashtag rejoicing is choosing. I love that. You choose joy. You choose to rejoice even in the midst of pruning seasons. Healthy branches produce fruit, but aren't focused on the fruit. He talked about the steps to remaining healthy. He also talked about evaluating our health. What kind of branch am I? What kind of branch am I? And Ben also said this, what we choose in this season will affect the next season. What we choose in this season will affect the next season. Then Casey came back last week and it was Easter Sunday and it was a great Sunday. What an amazing, there was so many amazing elements to that service. That dance, man, oh man, that dance was so good. If you haven't watched the Easter service, I would encourage you to go back and watch it. If you've only watched it once, I would encourage you to go back and watch it a second time. But it was so good. But Casey reminded us that Our hope is in Christ alone. That hope is the confident expectation of what God promised. Hope is the confident expectation of what God promised. And in case you also said we don't hope in an outcome, we hope in Christ alone. We hope in Christ alone. Such a great statement. Such a great statement. And we find ourselves kind of back in John 15, and I'm going to go ahead and read that, but we're going to kind of settle in to chapter or to verses 5-8, and really settling into verse 7. So if you'd open with me, I just want to read that quickly. If you're there, say yeah. If you're not, say hold up. We're all there. Perfect. Awesome. 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 If you're there, say yeah. If you're ready, say come on with it. Says this, I am the vine and my Father, the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. You abide in me and my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much that it's good, it's real, it's right, it's true, and it has the unique ability to speak into any and every situation we will come against. Lord, this is living word, and we don't want just information today. God, I just pray that there would be revelation. Your Holy Spirit would drop things in our heart that we can hold on to during this season that would make a difference, that would make an impact, that would bring your peace and bring your presence. Lord, we love you in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Awesome. All right. So before we really dive into this, I want to just kind of do a little bit of backstory on where we're at. Like, let's just set the scene a little bit. So Jesus is speaking this at the Last Supper. He's speaking to his disciples at the Last Supper. And what has already taken place is this. All the disciples are sitting around. Jesus has already washed their feet. Judas has left the building. Jesus tells Peter that he will deny him three times. Jesus begins to teach them and he tells his disciples that he is the way, the truth, and the life, the one and the only way to the Father. Jesus reveals his plan for the Holy Spirit, and then Jesus breaks into a farming parable. Jesus breaks into the farming parable. He talks about the vine and the branches. Jesus illustrates to his disciples that the branches, that they are the branches and he is the vine, and the Father is the vine dresser. And then in verse 4, he says, abide in me and I in you. In verse 5, abide in me and bear much fruit. It's so happy. Abide in me, bear much fruit. It's so good. So good. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That's a big statement. And if we look at this and we look at it, I don't know if you read it like I read it, but I love the beginning of this and how it just kind of sets it out. It defines us. We're the branches. We're not the vine. God's the vine dresser. We're not the vine dresser. It establishes who we are. It's a rule of life, right? So you can ignore it, but it still remains true. Just if you ignore that, it doesn't make it less true, right? You are branches. We are branches. And so he tells us if we abide in the vine, we bear a lot of fruit. We get to abide in the vine. We get to remain with Jesus. The best thing is the connection, but also God develops this fruit in us. That is happy. That is good news. And then he goes on to say, apart from me, you can do nothing. And this works so well. I mean, it's common sense. This works so well inside the illustration. It works so well inside the parable. What about real life? If a parable is an earthly story that reveals a spiritual truth, then this truth is pretty straightforward. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. We can do nothing. And I just started thinking about that. Like, we can do nothing. Like, yeah, I believe you, Jesus, but surely we can do something, right? Like, do nothing. Like, what does that really mean? Surely we can do something. Spurgeon says this. I love this quote. He says this: you may talk a good deal without him. You may hold Congress. You may hold conferences and conventions, but doing is another matter. Without Jesus, you can talk any quantity, but without him, you can do nothing. The most eloquent discourse without him will be all a bottle of smoke. All just a bottle of smoke. He finishes this quote with this: without Jesus, it's fuss, flare, fireworks, and failure. And that is the end of it. Without Jesus, it's fuss, flare, fireworks, and failure. And that is the end of it. That's a powerful statement. That's a super powerful statement. It's so good that we can abide in him and he develops fruit, but we also have to understand that apart from him, we can do nothing. And we can do things, but doing things for him, we can't do it. It ends up eventually fuss, flare, fireworks, and failure. In the context of this verse, Jesus is telling us that anything lasting, anything worth it, anything that will truly make a difference must come from you being sourced out of the vine. Must come from you being sourced out of the vine. Regardless of what you do, whether you're a business owner, whether you're a school teacher, whether you're an engineer, lawyer, whatever profession you do, this applies to you. Apart from him, we can do nothing. Sure, we can do things, but doing things that actually matter, that actually bring the God's kingdom down to earth, actually glorify Jesus and tell of who he is to others, we can't do that. Again, Casey and Ben both told us that fruit is not our responsibility. Abiding is. Remaining is. We just have to stay connected. And I think that when we take on the idea that I have to do this, I have to get this done, people are relying on me, we can tend to look inwardly at what we have, and we can tend to take our eyes off of what Jesus did. Right? I'm not saying that you don't have responsibility. I'm not saying you're important. I'm not saying you're a great leader and that people are relying on you, but you need to come back to the source. People are relying on you because of the things that Jesus developed in you. You are in the position that you're in because Jesus has blessed you to be there. And that we have to always be connected back to that source and work forward from there, allowing Jesus to set the parameters, allow Jesus to set the pace, allow Jesus to set the decisions, allow Jesus to set the life, and then we move forward. It's a constant dependence on him, because if we disconnect ourselves from him, we can do nothing. We can do nothing. It goes on in verse 6 to say, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. It just took a very quick shift in the tone of the parable. Abide in me and have fruit. Don't abide in me. You can't do nothing. I'm going to throw you into the fire. Right? Like, thumbs up. Thanks. Cool. Hey, where's Judas? Fire. Oh. Okay. So Again, we tend to look inwardly at what we have when we start doing that. And we take our eyes off of what Jesus did. I just have a quick illustration for you. I've got two roses right here. Okay, two roses. This one kind of looks like the Beauty and the Beast rose, right? Just, oh my gosh. Okay, we're going to go ahead and we're going to name these roses. Oh, this one's so sad. We're going to name these roses. We're going to say this one's name is Jimmy. This is Jimmy. I texted Jimmy Miller this morning and I said, hey man, I'm going to use you for an illustration. And he said, great. I also texted Brian and I said, hey man, I'm going to use you for an illustration. And he did not get back to me. But this one's Jimmy. I also thought it would be Jimmy too, because 70% of the people that go to this congregation, their names are Jimmy. It's a fact. Just think about it for a second, right? And so if this offends you, Jimmy, I'm talking about the other Jimmy. So don't worry, right? The other Jimmy. This one's Jimmy. This one's Brian. Jimmy, Brian. Okay? Jimmy, Brian. Which one of these is alive? Just go ahead. This is for Facebook purposes. Go ahead and put it in the comments on the side. Go ahead and holler back. Which one of these is alive? Which one of these roses is alive? Okay. So really, if you think about this, neither of these roses are alive. They're both dead. They're both cut off from the source, right? Brian's dead. Jimmy's dead. But he may not know it yet, right? His condition's a little bit better, but his position is still off. He's not to the source. And so what happens sometimes, if we think like we're keeping up the appearance, we're doing kind of the church thing, right? We may feel like we're connected. We may look okay. And we can look at Jimmy, or we can look at Brian, and Jimmy can say, Brian, man, hey, why are you so down? And it's like, oh, like this wilted look is just not good. It's not good on you. Like perk up and have some faith. Brian, just have some faith. Oh, have some faith, Brian, right? And we can, both of these are disconnected from the source. Both of these roses are essentially, like, they're dead because they're not tapped into that source. See, we understand this illustration in plant form, but we can miss it in our lives. And here's one of the things that we can miss. This is one of the things that I feel like the Lord was speaking to me during this message. We cannot mistake what we do for who we are, okay? Another way to say that. We cannot mistake calling for Jesus. We cannot mistake calling for Jesus. Okay, what does that mean? Okay, when I say calling, this is what I mean. I mean you doing the thing that you were made to do, okay? You doing the thing that you were made to do. We can't mistake calling for Jesus. Okay, so I've got a vase here. Put these guys in here, right? They are still disconnected. They're disconnected from the root system. They're disconnected from the rose bush. They're dead, right? And what we can do is many of us, we are operating in our calling. And you can operate in that calling, that thing that God made you to do. You can operate in that calling, but you can still be disconnected. And you can be fooling yourself into this notion and this idea that, hey, I am doing what I'm supposed to do. But if you're not sourced to the branch, if you're not sourced to the vine, then you may be pouring in all of these good things. But eventually you're going to end up looking like Brian. Jimmy is going to look like Brian, right? So we can fill this up. We can fill this up with all of our volunteering. We can fill this up with all of our, really, we can fill it up with all of our, what were other things? Oh my gosh. Church attendance. We can fill it up even with our calling, what we were made to do. And sometimes what can happen is that we can get so sucked up and wrapped into this notion, man, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. That you start doing and you stop being connected to Jesus, and you just kept doing it for him instead of doing it with him and allowing him to source you out of that vine and allowing him to build growth and stability and health in you. Oftentimes we do this. We do the right things, but we forget to be a part of the vine. We forget to take that time to really dig deep in the spiritual disciplines. And when I say spiritual disciplines, this is what spiritual disciplines are. They're a posture to allow you to connect with Jesus. They're a posture to allow you to connect with Jesus, right? Scripture reading, it's an opportunity for you to relationally connect with your Father. Prayer, it's a relational opportunity for you to connect with your Father. Silence and solitude, it's a relational opportunity for you to listen to your Father. All of these things help you stay connected. And then we work out of that place, but we can't work and try to earn the love and attention and all the things that we want from the Father. He's saying, listen, I have it. Just be with me. Just be with me. We can't just be roses in a vase. We have to be ones that are connected to the vine, because that's where we're sourced out of. But apart from a vibrant relationship with Jesus, you can do nothing. Ben talked about this a lot. He talked about the pruning process. He talked about how the pruning process is there. And even the branches that bear fruit, they're pruned back so they can bear more fruit. And that's basically us trusting in the pruning process. It's us trusting in that pruning process. But we have to understand that we have to stay connected. And apart from a vibrant relationship with Jesus, we can't do anything. Your relationship with him is the outsourcing. It's the flow of where everything else comes from. It's interesting. The word do here in this verse means to make or manufacture. And the word nothing means to shut the door, and it leaves no exceptions. No exceptions. Basically, Jesus is saying, you can't fake my work. You need me to do it through you. You need me to do it through you. You need to be connected to me so that we can partner and we can do what I have planned for you to do. Jesus needs sons and daughters. He needs disciples who will be faithful and stay attached to him in whatever they do. He needs sons and daughters. He needs disciples that stay attached to him in everything that they do. Verse 6, it goes on to say, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. Verse 7, but if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Ask whatever you wish, and it'll be done for you. Whatever I wish, like whatever I wish, it'll be done for you. That's in the Bible. That's there. That's there in Scripture. But one of the things we have to understand is that there's a prerequisite to asking and receiving. It's that you abide in me and my words abide in you. Then ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. You have to remain. You have to stay connected. His words need to be in you before the request is made, before the wish in our mind is made, and then it's comes out through prayer. Jesus emphasizes again the importance of abiding and remaining, but he also adds this: his word abides in us. His word abides in us. What does this mean? It means that we listen and we do what he says. Jesus' message and his life are things that we are supposed to take and do ourselves. He is our greatest example. He is who we want to be more and more like every day. It's his spoken word turned into our living choices. It's his spoken word turned into our living choices. See, Jesus is showing us, he's showing us that abiding in him, listening to his word, will change us and change the way we pray. Jesus is showing that abiding in him, listening to his word, will change us and change the way we pray. It will change the way, the desires that we have. It will change the requests that we give. The biggest example of that is Psalms 37:4. Psalms 37:4 says this. It says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Awesome verse. So good. Desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. The word for delight yourself means to enjoy, but it also means to be soft and pliable. He wants you to enjoy him, but he also wants you to be soft and pliable. Basically, enjoy being changed. That's what that verse says. Delight in the Lord. Delight in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Before you delighted in the Lord, you had desires of your heart. After you started delighting in the Lord, you probably had different desires in your heart. Because it changes us. Wanting what he wants, desiring what he desires, living the way that Jesus lived will change the desires of our hearts. See, our prayers should not reflect the philosophies of Aladdin. It's not a genie in a bottle. Like it's not that we get to ask whatever we want and he is bound by the word of God to do it for you. That's not what we're saying. What I'm saying is that our prayer done based on the Bible, not neglecting to listen and be directed to how to pray, will actually change what we wish for. Delight yourself in the Lord. Enjoy him, but be ready and willing to be changed by him. Be pliable and moldable. It goes back to the image of of my father is the potter, I am the clay. He shapes you into what he had designed for you in the first place. You just can't hold it back. You can't hold back that area in your life that, it's gotta be this way. And God's saying, maybe it doesn't have to be this way. Actually, I have a better plan for you. Actually, I wanna speak and minister to you and change that thing and make it look different than the way that you thought it should look. Be pliable, be willing to change. And if you're pliable and willing to change, then the things that we wish for, the things that we pray for may end up looking different. Okay, prayer, I want to say this one carefully. Prayer works. I believe in prayer wholeheartedly. He said, Jesus tells us so many times to pray, and so many times to pray for healing and pray for miracles and pray for people. And we do that, and that's amazing. But one of the things that we need to understand is that prayer may not change your circumstance like you want it to. But prayer has the power to always change you. I'm gonna say that again. Prayer may not change your circumstances like you want it to, but prayer has the power to always, always change you. To always, always change you. That's what prayer can do. We need to make our requests known to God. Like if you look through the Old Testament, you look through Psalms, you look through Lamentations, you look through Habakkuk, there's so many times when these people go before the Lord and they're just so real and so vulnerable and so broken in their prayer. And that's so good. We have to be honest with Jesus. We have to be honest with God. But we also have to understand that part of prayer is stopping and listening, right? It's stopping and listening. You got one mouth and two ears. You should listen twice as much as you talk. For some of us, that's very hard. But you have this prayer. Prayer is listening and being pliable and delighting in the process, delighting in the pruning process, right? We're not just looking for the fruit. We're rejoicing in the pruning. We're staying connected to the vine and allowing Jesus to develop things in us. Allowing Jesus to develop things in us. Take some time to pray and enjoy, but also look for his direction. Take time to listen. Take time to listen. Verse 8 goes on to say, by this my Father is glorified, that us bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. See, when we abide in Jesus, when we remain in Jesus, Jesus develops and he develops us, and he uses that development to share himself to others. To share himself to others. Remember, what he develops in this season will carry into the next. What he's doing in you right now in these last 5 weeks, going on 6 weeks, it's gonna make a difference moving forward. It's gonna make a difference moving forward. But we have to be willing to stop and listen and delight in him, enjoy him, but be pliable enough to let him change us. Let him change our thoughts, change our actions, change the way we think about certain situations and circumstances. That we're super honest when we come to him in prayer, but we are so willing to hear his perspective. See, it's funny, like in evangelical Christianity, we talk about surrendering your life to Jesus, right? Surrendering your life to Jesus. But sometimes we surrender our life and then we don't give Jesus a say. When really what he is saying to his disciples. And another important thing is that we have to read this. We have to read John 15. Like a disciple, because that's what we are. We are disciples. There is no part of this teaching that doesn't apply to us. All of it does. There's no part of this teaching that doesn't apply to you because you have a certain vocation. All of this applies to you. You have to read it like a disciple, and you have to understand that we have to be connected to the vine. And if we're not connected to the vine, we can't do anything. There is no more growth that happens in these roses. They may be pretty for a second, but eventually they'll end up looking wilted and brown, and they'll be picked up and thrown into the fire. But if we stay connected, then we're receiving nourishment from our provider. We're receiving nourishment from our provider that when storms come, we are still able to grow. We're still able to be sustained because Jesus is the one who is sustaining us, and then we can move forward from there. So, worship team, Ben and Jonathan, you guys can come back up here. I just want us to take some time and pray. Take some time and pray. Take some time and pray. I just want to read verse 7 to you again. I think it's so good. And I think that, you know, at least for me personally, like the Lord is really, really teaching me more and more and more about prayer. More and more and more about prayer. And what I thought was, like, I thought that the general function of prayer was to change my circumstances. And it does. It does change your circumstances. But what I'm finding out is that the biggest impact is that every time I find myself in prayer, I find myself changed a little bit more. I find the Lord bringing up areas in my life that I've ignored and need to work on. I find the Lord bringing up these things that I haven't had patience for. Bringing up these things that I haven't had persistence in. Bringing up these relationships that need mending. Bringing up these things that need forgiveness. Bringing up these things that need more attention. Prayer, it changes our circumstances. Maybe not like you thought it would, but it will always, if you let it, always, always, always change you. Always change you. If you abide in me, in my words, abide in you. If you stay connected to me, if you remain in me, in my words, my teaching, my life remains in you. Ask whatever you wish. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. He's a good father. He's a good father. And it says in, Jesus said that if our heavenly father, if we earthly fathers know how to give good gifts, how much more does our heavenly father know how to give good gifts? He understands the desires of your heart. He really, really does. We have to delight in him. We have to enjoy him. We have to be willing to be changed by him. Because maybe some of those things that you desire in your heart aren't coming out of a place that is set upon him. And if we can delight in him more, if we can rest in him more, if we can spend more time being changed and molded by Jesus, that those desires will begin to bring about the kingdom. They'll begin to serve others so, so well. They'll begin to impact our community, in our neighborhood, in our families, more than we ever thought possible. Because now we're not just going with what we can do. We're going with what Jesus wants to do through you. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to me to be my disciples. Again, our work is to remain. Our work isn't to develop the fruit. We have to understand that God does that. And that as we stay connected, he develops some really amazing things in us. So take some time. Take some time to pray. Maybe evaluate, do I really delight in Jesus? Do I enjoy him? Am I willing to be changed by him? Am I willing to let him sift through all of the desires of my heart? Am I staying connected to him? Am I living out his words where I'm at right now? Is that happening? I believe if you step into that, you pray honestly before the Lord that he's going to begin to answer you. He communicates. The Holy Spirit communicates to us. And I believe he wants to do it with you this morning. So would you take some time, evaluate those things, pray about those things. And remember, before anything else, we desire Jesus. There's some great, awesome, good things that he wants to do through you. You have to stay connected to him. So Jesus, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you so much for this teaching. We thank you so much for all of the things that were going on around this teaching. What beautiful moments you shared with your disciples, washing their feet, sharing a meal with them, teaching them about the Holy Spirit that was to come, being really honest with them. But I just ask that we would identify with these words as disciples, because he's not only speaking, Jesus, you're not only speaking to your 12 disciples, you're speaking to your disciples, period. And we are those disciples. So change us, mold us, help us to enjoy you more during this season. Help us to enjoy you more during this season. Search us and know us. Find any way in us that's not part of you and help us to see it. Jesus, we love you. And we surrender to the work that you want to do inside of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jared, thank you so much for the word this morning. Church family, I want Jared to also release another prayer over you. If we were all here together this morning, there would be a time just to come up to the front and say, I'm a Jimmy. Whoop. Or I'm a Brian. I'm this Rose this morning. And if we were all here together, we would lay hands on each other and we would bless and pray for each other and release prophetic words over each other. And so this morning, I'm just sensing that the Lord wants to do something special in your heart. If you are one of these roses, if you are identifying with one of these roses this morning, Jesus wants to meet you right now. And so just as if you were to come up to the front and just say a yes to Jesus, a yes to this word, a yes to what this word can do in your heart, I want you to take a step. If you're sitting right now at home, I want you to get up. I want you to take a stand. I want you to step forward and just hold out your hands. And just as a representation of Jared releasing a prayer over you, I want him to lay hands on this vase that represents your hearts this morning and just release a prayer over you.
Yes.
So just step up, step forward, open up your heart, your hands. Let Jared just release a prayer over you right now.
Jesus, we thank you so much that you know right where we are. You know exactly what's going on in our hearts right now, in our minds right now, in our life right now. Lord, you know how hard it is. And God, I just ask that for anyone that's identifying as somebody that is, you're broken. You know you're not sourced. You know you're not connected to the vine. Or one that, honestly, they think they're not broken. You're not connected to the vine, but the Lord wants to show you that you're not, and eventually, eventually the wilting happens if we're not connected. And Lord, you call all of us back, just like Ben talked about, that we can be grafted back in. How beautiful that is, that we can be grafted back in. That if we identify with either of these places, Lord, you're calling us back in. You're calling us back in. That these roses wouldn't be thrown in the fire, they would be attached back to the vine. Lord, that they would have health and vibrancy and a beautiful, wonderful relationship with you. And Lord, you are doing that right now. Lord, as we surrender to you, as we surrender to you where we're at, you know where we're at, but you're just waiting for us to take that step to say, this is me, this is my condition. Jesus, I need your help. I've been trying to do it for you instead of being with you. Help me to be with you, to be connected with you, to remain in you, because I need what you have. I need what you have. Jesus, we love you. And Jesus, we say, we need you. We desire you. We desire you.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Please join us online at heritagefellowship.us or in person in Jefferson City, Tennessee, as we encounter God, touch lives, and impact nations.